Good to see everybody back again this evening. My sermon this evening is actually a continuation of the sermon that I began this morning on the study of the subject of repentance. You will probably notice in the sermon this morning that I did not have the PowerPoint with me. There's a very simple reason. That's because I forgot the memory stick, and it was left at my house. And so I was too late to go back and get it, and so, you know, I preached for many, many years without an overhead PowerPoint. And so as long as you have the scriptures, I was able to get the lesson to you. This is a very important lesson. And the reason I say that is because I fear there are a lot of people out in the world who profess to be Christians who, quite frankly, don't understand the seriousness of what it is God is commanding of us when he tells us to repent. The scriptures I gave you this morning in the introduction, you know all Acts 2:38. Where Peter told them on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And then as you go further over in the book of Acts, when you find Paul there in the city of Athens, he tells them that there was a time at this ignorance when God overlooked it, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And it's not on the outline, but you also find where Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So I got it from those three verses alone. Repentance is vitally important for me to have any hope of being saved. But exactly what is it? If you ask people, have you repented when you obeyed the gospel? A lot of folks will go, yes, I have. And you say, well, what'd you do? And they'll go, what? Well, what did you do when you repented? Maybe I quit drinking as much. Or I started going to church is what I started doing. And we have it in our mind that going to church and attending services and being a pretty good person and not sinning as much as I used to, I repented. I changed, so I repented. I'm trying to show you the actual understanding of what it is by looking at the subject from different perspectives of the way in which it is described in the Bible. One of the interesting things I learned as I worked this sermon up, it's the first time I've ever preached it before. Because I did not want to go back and just pull another sermon on repentance. I wanted to go back and restudy the subject completely new. And so I went back to the Old Testament and I'm starting to look for the word repent in the Old Testament. And I was amazed. Eight times. Eight times you find the word repent in the entire Old Testament. Now, wait a minute. Isn't it important? Yes, it is important. But that's not the word that is used that often in the Old Testament. I try to point out to you in the sermon this morning that you will often find the concept of repentance described as returning to God. It is the understanding that you have left God. And the way in which you left God was when you chose by your own will and your own pride to go your way, to do what you wanted to do, not keeping the commandments of God in your life. And in doing so, you left God. And so repentance is not only turning, you're going to find sometimes it's referred to as turn, the idea you're going the wrong way, you turn, and now you go the right way, you return to God, you're coming back to God, and in that process, you're submitting to His will now, letting His commands be what guides your life. And then we went from that to looking at some New Testament terms such as convert. Converted, the idea of being changed, and even more so down the line of that thinking, transformed. It is a transformation taking place to where you are being transformed into the image of Christ, trying to be more and more and more like the example of Jesus Christ, literally moment by moment, day by day, striving to be more like Him. And then we close the sermon this morning by talking about putting off the old man, putting on the new man, putting on Christ, putting off sin, putting on righteousness. All of those are discussing the same subject, repentance, from different perspectives. I would like to continue now with this line of thinking in the sermon this evening. And what I want you to see in the line of the sermon this evening is the seriousness of repentance. As I told you in the sermon this morning more than once, Christianity is not a casual relationship with God. And my fear is that was what most people think about when they think about repentance. I have a casual relationship with God. He's part of my life. I have repented. Basically, they're going from the concept of I had nothing to do with God to where I have something to do with God, and so now I repented. I want you to see that repentance is a lot more than a casual relationship. The way it is defined here in Romans chapter 6 is putting sin, look at this now, to death. To death. And then the transformation is going to be so radical that now you're going to be raised to walk in newness of life. In the context here, we're talking about what we call obeying the gospel. And it is driven by faith. But before you are baptized, you have to repent. And the process of repenting is understanding there is sin in my life. And that sin has got to be put to death. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And then he goes into chapter 6 and verse 4 and says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so the concept in repentance is putting to death sin. Now, I got a question for you. Is mostly dead dead? It's kind of dead dead. You know, please don't bury me if I'm kind of dead. If I'm really sick, if I'm going the wrong direction physically. Dead is dead. It's not coming back. It's not kind of dead. It's not mostly dead. It's dead. That is the level to which repentance is to be towards sin. Totally, absolutely dead. No more alive. Living in me that way. Look at other verses on the same concept. Romans again, chapter 6. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There again, you've seen the contrast between death and life. You're dead to sin, but when it comes to God, I'm alive to God, and I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember the lesson this morning? In the turning, you're turning from Satan, you're turning from darkness, you're turning to God, you're turning to light. And so you're going the wrong way because you're going toward Satan, you're going toward darkness. Now you turn and you go toward God. In the same concept here, he's talking about sin, you got to put it to death. But then you stop there. Now you've got to come alive to God, walking in newness of life. A new way you are living, a transformed, converted life to where it is total transformation, total conversion, not kind of conversion, not kind of transformed, not kind of dead to sin. So you see the level again in Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So, now do you understand the battle? If anyone tells you, yeah, putting to death the deeds of the body, I got this. That wasn't difficult at all. Really? Okay, well, I'm just going to be honest with you. I found repentance in my life when I was walking in darkness and was walking in sin. I found coming home and getting right with God not to be easy. It was a long, hard, sludging battle. And even once I finally got those sins dead and have no desire to go back to them, I found out, wait a minute, there's a lot more here. It's not just stopping doing those things. That's where often we think of repentance only one-sided. I was doing these things that I knew weren't pleasing to God, and I stopped doing them. But now I got to start living a whole other way. You see, there's that whole other side of it. Coming to God, returning to God, and now you put to death the deeds of the body, but you got to also rise to walk in newness of life. Colossians says in chapter 3, 5 through 7, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness,
which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Okay. What I want you to see here at the very bottom of this. These sins, fornication, to what level in their lives were they living in fornication? They were walking in it, and they lived in it. You see those verbs, walked, lived? You're going to find those same verbs pertaining to our relationship with God. We live by faith. We walk by faith. Okay, you remember me teaching about those verbs? Those are linear verbs. So what we're talking about here, in all these particular forms of sin, they walked in it. They lived in them. It was their lifestyle. Normal, everyday living, understood, part of my life, gonna do it, been doing it, gonna keep doing it. That's walking in it, living in it. And so these sins that they walked in, these sins that lived in them, you got to put those to death. And again, just understand the level of repentance. It's not kind of to death. Kind of stop fornicating. Kind of stop being unclean. Kind of stop getting rid of the passion. Kind of stop the evil desires. It's not kind to anything. It's totally dead. That's the level we're trying to get to, folks. Now do you understand how big repentance is? You put to death the members which are on the earth. Totally. Let's go further with this. Galatians says in chapter 5 and verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So when you've crucified it, how dead is it again? Totally. Now again, just being honest, you remember as I told you in the lesson this morning, is there anybody here who, when you obeyed the gospel and you repented, all the things you were struggling with that the scriptures identify as being sinful, did you put them all off and you never went back and never even looked back and you've just been going like a rocket straight forward? No. I'm sorry, and being honest with you, no, that's not the way it was. First of all, getting them off wasn't easy. If you walked in it and you lived in it, just getting out of it, boom, I'm out of it, I'm gone, okay. It wasn't easy, folks. Repentance is the tough part of being a Christian because it requires not kind of being dedicated, it requires total dedication. Consumed with your relationship with God, with the understanding of any kind of sin that is unpleasing to my God, I'm going to put it all to death. All the passions, all the desires are going to be crucified. Now then, you understand the definition maybe a little better. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. All right. Now, what I want you to see here is the level to which sin has control over a person. In our sermon this morning, we look back in Jeremiah. By the way, I gave you a wrong scripture on the sermon this morning. It wasn't 2 Corinthians 2:18. It was 2 Corinthians 3:18. Sorry. Getting back to this, though. From the sermon this morning from Jeremiah, he talked about people who fall, they don't get up. People who are going perpetually backwards and not forward. And that was when I was asking the question, what direction are you going? Think of repentance as a direction you're traveling in your life. Are you going toward God? Are you returning to God? Are you following God's word? Are you going backwards, 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 backwards? And are you willing to return to God after you've turned from him? In the text here, he's describing someone. It says they are slaves of corruption. And look at this. For by whom a person is, look at this word, overcome. If you are overcome by sin, You have become a slave of sin, to where when it calls, you obey. When it tells you to go a certain way and live and do a certain thing, you do it. And you keep doing it. And you keep doing it. You're walking in it. You're living in it. You are now enslaved to it. So now that you understand what sin does to us, it overcomes us. We become enslaved to it. To where there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, we walk in them. Just being honest with you folks, when I was walking in one of them, I was walking in all three, okay? You basically surrender to all sin. To where I'm going to do what I want to do, forget the scriptures, know what it says, but I'm going to go my way. And I understand what I'm doing is sin, but I'm just going to keep doing it. You're enslaved to it. You're enslaved. Now let's go back to Romans on this. By the way, Romans 6 is to me one of the best texts on repentance. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Look at that now. Sin reigning in your mortal body. The idea is, it's king over you. It's got you. It's reigning over you. It's telling you what to do. And you just go, yes, Lord, to sin. And you are enslaved to sin and Satan and death. And so he says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. But look at this. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. So your members here is your body. Am I going to give my body over to sin, to where it's obeying sin? Or, look at the other side, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. All right, you remember our lesson this morning? You're turning from Satan to God. You're turning from darkness to light. And in this turning to God and turning to light and returning to God and drawing near to God, in this process, repentance is going to require you to no longer be enslaved to sin. To not let sin reign over your body, to where in your body you're using the body that Christ died for, where your Holy Spirit is living and Christ is living in us. Using this body to sin? No, to the contrary, you become alive from the dead. You remember why? Rising to walk in newness of life. And now my members are instruments for righteousness to God. Do you see that? It's putting off the sin. That's part of it, yeah. But then you remember the putting off and the putting on Christ, being transformed to the image of Christ, striving to where my body is now used as an instrument of God for righteousness in my life. And there's righteousness that I'm striving to live, and this holiness I'm striving to live is to the glory of my God. That's repentance. Do you see this is not a casual relationship with God at all? This is all-consuming spiritual warfare and battle that you're going to be fighting all of your life. Continuing in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So, the truth of the matter is, you're going to have to serve somebody. You're either going to serve the devil, or you're going to serve God. You're either going to be enslaved to sin, or you're going to be enslaved to God and righteousness. And the truth of the matter is, you may come back and say, well, I don't want to be enslaved to either one. I'm sorry. Those are the only two options. You're either going to serve God or you're not. And if you're going to serve God, you've got to come to understand the level of service that God expects of those that serve him. He does not want casual relationship, folks. He wants the service to be all-consuming, to where you're no longer a slave of sin. As you continue the text, it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves, whether you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So the question is, who are you going to obey?
If you obey sin, okay, you're enslaved to sin. And the end of that is going to lead to spiritual death. Or you can be obedient to God, leading to righteousness. And that righteousness is going to lead to eternal life. He says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. And so what I'm wanting you to see here is, again, the level of dedication that repentance requires of us. He is describing sin as being enslaved to it, and you've got to break free from that slavery. Break free from the level of sin reigning over you. Folks, when sin reigns over you, if you think you can thump it off easily, you're wrong. It is a long, arduous battle to get it out and get it off and keep it off. And that's the thing I'm trying to get across to you in this series of sermons, is how big repentance really is and how difficult it really is and how all-consuming it must be for it to be accomplished. He says, going further in Romans 6, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So, don't let the members of your body and your body be used and become slaves for uncleanness. Notice how he describes it there. Of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. That's why I asked you in the sermon this morning, are you going forward to God or are you having a perpetual backsliding as Jeremiah described to where I'm going into sin and I'm just going to keep going this way? You see, folks, when you get caught up in the pride of life, if you were listening to the sermon this morning, you're consumed by the pride of life and you're going to do what you want to do, the sermon this morning was meaningless to you. Because as soon as you get out of this building, you're going to go the way you want to go. You're going to do what you want to do, regardless of what the scriptures say. That's pride of life. And when you do that, you are going in a perpetual backsliding. You are just getting further and further away from God and deeper into sin. You see how that works? And so repentance is going to be ever how far it is you've gone. And if you're like the prodigal son and you've gone into a far country, folks, you got a long way to come home. As far away as you go from God and you're backsliding and going backwards and going deeper and deeper into sin, as far away as you go, that's how far now you've got to come back. And coming home is not easy. All right, but look at the last part of this. Present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. That's what we're trying to get to, folks. To where someone observes you. Someone listens to the way you talk. They observe the way you dress. They observe the way you interact with other people, the things you are doing. They recognize that person's different. That person's a Christian. You can tell it by the way they live, by the way they talk, by the way they dress, by the things they're doing. This person has God driving them in their life to try to live a life of righteousness, a life of holiness. And in this life of righteousness and holiness, we are to be slaves of it. To where when God says, do something, all we do is say, yes, Lord, and obey it. So who are you going to serve? Who are you going to be a slave to? Sin, leading to death, or righteousness, leading to eternal life? And then finally, the last part of the sermon on definition and studying aspects and perspectives of repentance. If I were going to pick one verse, or should I say two verses, that to me the best definition of repentance, it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I just want to look at verse 1, though. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let me ask you, when you hear that phrase, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, is that a kind of relationship with God? God, you're kind of important. I think about you sometime.
I wanted to say it this morning, but I didn't want to offend people. If you're only here on Easter, you probably got a kind of relationship with God. If the only time you're going to come into the building is on Easter and Christmas, and you think that's Christianity? No! Casual relationship is not what God wants from anybody. Living sacrifice. How much of you does He want you to give? Tell you what, God, I'll give you 30% of me. But I'm keeping 70% for myself. I'm going to do what I want 70% of the time, but 30% of me, I'll be trying to do what you want. No, I'll tell you what, okay, I understand. You don't want that. 50-50. 50-50. Can't you do better than that? I'll give you half of me, half the time. Everybody here is going, what? You know that's not going to get it. That's not what He wants. If you're not going to give all, He doesn't want you. If you're not going to give all, you're not giving a living sacrifice. You're not repenting. You're kind of repenting. You're kind of changing. You're kind of being transformed. You're kind of a Christian. There is no kind of Christian. When you're talking about a living sacrifice, He wants all of you all the time. Total, consumed with your relationship with God always. Now, do you understand the level of commitment we're talking about? And so when people read these verses about repent, I think sometimes they think, I'm going to start going to church every now and then. And I'm going to stop being so ugly to my wife, and I might be faithful to her even. And I'm going to stop drinking so much. And so I've repented, and I'm going to heaven. I'm sorry, you don't understand repentance. The whole point of these sermons is so people will understand the seriousness of the commitment and how big it really is. Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God. He doesn't want half of anybody. He wants you to give all of yourself to Him. Matthew 16, 24 to 25. Then Jesus says to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Living sacrifice right there. Notice what I put in yellow for you here. Deny yourself. Remember the pride of life? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way. That's pride of life right there. The pride of life is, yeah, God, I understand what your word says, but I really like this sin stuff. And I'm going to hang out over here. I'll come home sometime, maybe later on, but I'm going to stay over here right now. I know I'm going deeper, but I'm going to come sooner or later. I'm sorry, that's not going to get it. That's not going to get it. You got to deny yourself. To where maybe things that you enjoyed, and liked doing, but if God says there's sin, you've got to repent completely of it. Put it to death. Crucify it. It's dead. And don't let it come back. And he says, the one who desires to save his life, to where I can't give that much, Lord. I just can't do that. I'm going to go my way if you don't mind. You're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. You got to lose your life for his sake. Living sacrifice to the glory of God. You'll find it. You see that level of sacrifice? Look at this next verse. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Notice the verse does not say, whoever of you does not forsake some of what he has. Most of what he has. A lot of what you have. No, all that he has cannot be my disciple. Are you seeing it now? When you're giving yourself as a living sacrifice, that's all your body, all your spirit, all your life, and all of you. Everything connected to you is all given over to God, to His glory, to His service. Totally being consumed by my relationship with God to where I'm drawing near to God and whatever His word says do, we're going to become slaves to it and obey it, and by obeying it, live a life of righteousness and holiness that glorifies our God. One last verse and the lesson will be yours. Galatians 2 and 20. I've been crucified with Christ. Do you see the level of dedication right there? I made this point in a sermon this morning. When he says, I've been crucified with Christ, folks, that's living sacrifice. All of him, all the time. It is no longer I who live. Do you see the level of dedication? All himself, all the time, but Christ who lives in me. Do you see the level of commitment and giving over to God? Jesus lives in him. And the life that he lives, he says, I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This verse is describing the level of repentance God expects of all of us. Now then, do you understand why I told you in the sermon this morning, coming to the point of faith is easy. Confessing your faith is easy. Getting baptized is easy. Repentance. Oh, repentance is where, folks, it's not easy. I am in a battle every single day of my life with myself. Trying to deny myself, trying to beat down the pride of life and submit myself to the will of God. I admit there was a time when I was walking and living in sin, going deeper and deeper from God. And when I made the decision to turn around and come back, it was a long journey home and it was a tough journey home. I'm glad to say that now I'll look back at that man and I understand the scriptures that describe it as an old man that's dead. I don't even know that person. It used to be me. I wouldn't want to be friends with me at that time in my life. So I understand the changes. But you got to understand this. Even though you've been giving yourself over to God, Satan is not going to let up on you. He's going to continue to hit you till you're dead. And so this is why you must understand about repentance. It is all consuming all of your life to the end of your life. To where your life is given over in total service to God. Total to the glory of God. Enslaved to the will of God. Obeying the will of God. And if you fall down, what are you going to do? Get up. Ask forgiveness and keep pushing forward. And if you take some steps away from God, what are you going to do? Turn around and take the steps back toward God. That's why I asked you in the sermon this morning and I asked you in conclusion. What direction are you going right now? What direction? The direction is imperatively important. Extremely important. What direction are you going? Are you going toward God, trying to get closer to Him, drawing near to God, trying to be more like Jesus every day? And that's the direction. If that's the direction you're going in, you're living in repentance. You got it. Because you're going toward God. You're trying to get closer. And if you mess up, you ask for forgiveness and try to do better the next day. Or are you just saying, I give. I'm not stopping. I'm just going to keep going. I give. I'm sorry. I'm going to go this way. Then you're going to become enslaved to sin again. And it'd be better for you not to have known the way of righteousness than after you've known it to turn from it. Because the end of your journey is going to lead you to hell. Which way are you going? Are you going toward God or are you going from God? Are you returning to God or are you getting as far from God as you can? Are you living a life to where you understand the level of repentance that is required of you is to be putting to death the old man, to be getting rid of being enslaved to sin and giving yourself over as a living sacrifice. Do you see all of those terms? The level of dedication that's being described there. Putting to death sin, no longer being enslaved to sin, being alive to God, being obedient to God and enslaved to righteousness, and then giving myself over completely and totally to the glory of God as a living sacrifice. It's the biggest commitment you will ever make. Getting married is number two. Whoever you decide to join yourself to as husband or wife till death do you part. Second biggest commitment that you ever make in your life. The biggest commitment is when you commit yourself to become a Christian. And in repentance saying, okay, God, I'm repenting. And the very beginning here, I'm starting a journey to where I'm giving myself over to you. So I'm preaching this sermon so that you won't think that repentance is just coming forward and sitting on the front pew. That's an old joke. When they were asking a little boy about the different parts of being a Christian, he said, and repenting is at the front pew. Because people come forward and they sit on the front pew, so that's repenting. No. I want you to understand how serious it is because it's the biggest commitment you ever make. But if you're not a Christian, you got to make this commitment to be a Christian. There is no kind of Christian. It is all or nothing. All of you, all the time, till death, to the glory of God. That's what he wants of us. And so it's going to take you working toward that continually all of your life. If you have faith and you're willing to confess it and make that magnitude of commitment, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. You will begin your life as a child of God, born again, forgiven of your sins in Christ, baptized into his death. And what God expects of you now for the rest of your life is to live and walk by faith. And as you're living and walking by faith, you're looking into his word and trying to conform yourself to the image of Christ, trying to be more like Jesus, and it's going to be a continual effort of transformation and change that you never stop doing. You never stop repenting. You never stop transforming. You never stop going toward God to be more like Jesus. If you're here and you're in sin, and you realize there's sin between you and your God that hasn't been dealt with, deal with it now. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you're a subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that Jason has selected.